I'm telling you, it's true. Yeah, right. And how do you know that? Because the friend who told me this story heard it from someone who faced this. Of course, friend of a friend. What crap? Fine. If you don't believe me, then let's do it. Unless you're scared. Z and I were having this argument sitting in my car at the stranded highway in the middle of the night. We've been friends since middle school, and I had come home from work for a holiday. So did he. After a long time, we were having our late-night rides in our small, not-so-mysterious town, until Z mentioned this weird urban legend, the Washroom Man. Yeah, you heard it right. I'm not scared, it's just I find it stupid to believe all these folklores. The Washroom Man is real. That guy did this ritual in real life. He went to the public washroom on the highway without looking up. You should never look up until you're told so by him. He got inside a bathroom, sat on the toilet seat, and then closed his eyes and said, "You can watch me." Then, when he opened his eyes, a note fell on his lap from the ceiling. It read, "Don't look up." He summoned the Washroom Man. I'm telling you, it's true. Yeah, and what happened after that? How did he come out of the washroom? He followed the notes. The only way to make it out alive is to do exactly as the Washroom Man says. Enough, Z. Can't believe I pulled into the car just to hear a bunch of crap from you. Saying this, I started the engine, and we were back on the road. Z was pissed off, and so was I. We didn't talk for 10 minutes straight. And that's when I felt the urge to pee. I said in a serious tone, "I'm gonna pull over on the next turn. Need to pee." "Whatever." As I took the left turn, Z suddenly said, "Look!" There it is, the public washroom on the side of the road. Unexpected at that moment, I looked at Z. His eyes were wide, staring back at me. "Feeling scared to go in?" "Jackass." I got down from the car and went straight to the washroom. I kept my head down so I never got a glimpse of the ceiling. Getting inside the bathroom, I finished my business, but still didn't look up. I came out and washed my hands, and then I don't know what got into me, but I felt like trying this weird ritual. I never believed in the paranormal, so I was sure nothing was going to happen, and I would once again prove Z wrong. I did as I was taught, got inside the bathroom, closed the door, and sat on the toilet seat. I closed my eyes and then said, "You can watch me." Suddenly, I heard the main door of the washroom open, followed by a creaking sound. Heavy but slow footsteps approached my stall. I could see a moving shadow standing outside my bathroom door. Thinking Z was trying to scare me, I got up from the toilet seat, and that's when a piece of paper fell from above. The veins in my body stiffened in fear. With trembling hands, I picked up the note and read, "Don't look up. Holy Mother of God, is this happening?" I'm pretty sure the note fell from the straightly aligned ceiling above my head. It had nothing to do with Z or anyone standing on the other side of the door. Suddenly, I started to hear a repressed growl. The person standing on the other side can't be my friend, as he would have already said a word or two since the moment of entering this public washroom. Fear grabbed me so tightly that my voice died inside my throat. I wanted to scream for help, but I couldn't. Suddenly, the doorknob of my door started to twist slowly. Whoever was out there wanted to get in. Finding the door locked from the inside, heavy bangs started to appear on it. No one was talking, just banging on the door as if his life depended on it. Suddenly, one more note dropped from above. It read, "Just don't look up. What the hell?" Seeing this, I looked up. There was nothing but the white plastered ceiling above my head. How the hell did the notes fall from above then? That's when the lights started to flicker. The entire washroom turned into a freak show. Lights going on and off. The taps opened up on their own. I could hear the heavy water flow echoing in the washroom. After a few seconds of these ominous events, the light bulbs exploded, and it all got silent. I stood in the darkness, drenched in sweat. My breathing grew heavier. I left my phone in the car so I had no light to guide myself out. I slowly opened the door and peeked outside. Once my eyes adjusted to the darkness and the moonlight coming out of the window, I saw a man standing in the corner. He was in a patient's uniform. There were chains tied to his skinny, dirty feet. He kept his head down so I couldn't see his face, and he had gray, stringy hair that covered his partial face.
Who are you?
I finally spoke. The man didn't flinch. He didn't answer. His legs suddenly twisted, and his feet pointed to the inside. His bony hands crumpled into a weird shape, and he acquired a weird posture. I can't explain, but I almost shat my pants. He stood there in the same distorted way without saying a single word. I looked at the main door and realized this was my only chance now. I began walking to the main door while keeping an eye on him. He just stood there in the same manner and watched me walk to the door. I raised my hand to grab the doorknob. That's when I heard a bone crack. I looked behind and now saw the man sitting on the floor like a frog, who was all set to hop on me. The hair at the back of my neck stood up. The man slowly lifted his face, and I saw his eyes. I will never forget those eyes. They were huge, almost bulging out of his eye sockets. The glassy blue pupils made my entrails crawl. For the first time, I screamed and started to twist the doorknob with all my strength.
Z! Z! Help me!
I banged on the door, and the sound of bone snapping kept coming from behind. The man was coming at me, hopping like a frog. His eyes were staring at me in great hunger. He was just a few feet away from me when the main door slammed open, and I saw Z standing outside with a panicked face. I fainted right there. Z brought me home that night. I was down with a fever for a week after the incident. When I got better, after a few days, Z came to see me at my house. I told him everything that happened inside that public washroom that night. He said he came looking for me when he saw the washroom lights turned off. The fact that both of us couldn't hear any of our sounds just being divided by a washroom door freaks the hell out of me. It was as if I was taken to a whole different dimension once I stepped inside that washroom. I'm not sure whether the man I saw in the washroom was indeed this urban legend or not, but one thing I'm certain of is that you should never take these cursed tales lightly. No matter what happens, do not perform this ritual ever in a stranded public washroom on the highway. And still, if you do, then don't look up.
There's a tiny gas station several exits off of I-97, way out of the country, called Pete's Petrol. I always stop at Pete's when I'm making my monthly drive from home to the main office across the state. I fill up my tank, I grab a Red Bull, and I use the bathroom. Pete's Petrol is unique in that the bathrooms are a separate building from the rest of the station. I like that. I like the privacy. The washroom was small but clean and hardly trafficked. Stan, the current owner and the son of the late Pete, was the only unpleasant part of the monthly routine. It wasn't that Stan was rude or mean or aggressive in any way. The man was just off-putting. He was as tall as a fence post and scarecrow lean. I don't think he got a lot of sun. Stan wore the same grease-stained set of blue mechanics coveralls every time I saw him. He never failed to drop what he was doing to come chat with me and couldn't take the hint that I was in a rush and trying to check out. Stan had heterochromia, meaning he had two different colored eyes. One was so brown it was nearly black, and the other was so blue it was almost gray. This wasn't his fault, of course. But he also liked the stare, which made the condition even more noticeable. Still, Stan appeared harmless, if lonely, and he wasn't creepy enough to make me avoid Pete's Petrol. I found comfort in the familiarity. Then, one night, after I got stuck in the office until nearly midnight, I made my last trip to Pete's washroom. The visit started like normal, but much later than usual. I popped into the station to ask for the key and got trapped in one of Stan's stories for nearly 20 minutes. Something about a hunting trip he went on. I was barely listening. All of my focus was on my screaming bladder. Eventually, Stan released me, and I sprinted across the parking lot. There were two washrooms in the small building, a men's and a woman's. Though so few people used the station, it seemed pointless to split them. Regardless, I used the key to let myself into the men's room. It was tidy, though there was a sour odor I couldn't place. There were two stalls and two urinals, but only one sink. Someone had broken the mirror since my last visit. A great spiderweb of cracks slithered out of the middle. I made my way to a urinal and stopped. There was a stain on the white porcelain, a dark red ring of something like rust. I frowned. It was unusual for Stan to leave the washroom less than pristine. There was an issue with the lights as well. They were dimmer than normal, casting jagged shadows on the tile floor and white walls. I shuffled over to the second urinal, which was in perfect condition. After I was done, I flushed and moved to the sink. Just as I was washing my hands, I felt a rumble in my stomach. That cheap burrito from the food truck outside my office I'd eaten for dinner was going rogue. I shook my hands mostly dry and then paused when I saw the splatter against the mirror. It was hard to tell in the gloomy light, but the droplets from the water appeared to have a red-black tint. I wiped my hands against my shirt and prepared to turn on the sink again to check the water. Then the rumble came again, more urgent this time, my guts twisting with necessity. I shot into the first stall, fighting with my belt like it was sealed with a combination lock. I managed to get into position just in time. 15 minutes later, I was washing my hands again when the water went completely red. I yelled and pulled back. The fluid was thick and stickier than water. I dried my hands the best I could and went back to the stall to check the toilet. Sure enough, the bowl was filled with crimson. I flushed on reflex and there was a gurgling sound. There was some kind of backup. I'd seen it happen before at Pete's. This place was so remote, it wasn't hooked up to any municipal wastewater. The station and its washroom had to be on a well and a septic tank. Those were static and had a tendency to get overwhelmed easily. I watched the red water swirl down the toilet. When the bowl began to refill, I screamed. The water was still red, but now it was full of bits and pieces of flesh and bone and muscle. I recognized a full human finger. Even worse, an eyeball. I threw up, then backed out of the stall. The parking lot seemed so much larger and emptier as I ran for my car. For a terrible stretch of seconds, I couldn't find my keys. They were in my pocket right where I left them, though. So in a moment, I was in the car and peeling out of the parking lot. The last thing I saw of Pete's petrol was Stan watching from the window with a confused look on his face. I'm pretty sure I held my breath until I was a mile from the station. I was just starting to relax when I glanced in my rearview mirror and saw a tow truck rapidly approaching. Within a few seconds, Stan's face came into view as he was hunched over the wheel, snarling. He was chasing me. I felt my whole body go cold. There was something very wrong with the washroom at Pete's Petrol, and Stan probably wanted to keep that a secret. I slammed my foot on the gas. The tow truck behind me was old, but powerful. We went on a nightmare chase down the highway for a better part of an hour. At some parts, Stan grew so close in my rear view that I could see the madness in his mismatched eyes. the way his lips were back away from his teeth. I tried calling the police several times, but had no reception out here in the sticks. An hour after leaving the station, I finally began encountering some traffic around Annapolis. Even that early in the morning, there were cars on the road, lights, and even some cops. I finally made contact with 911 and told them I was being chased. Stan and I both slowed down the closer we got to the city. Once I hit the city limits, Stan dropped away. I watched his tow truck take an illegal U-turn, heading back towards the gas station and its morbid washrooms at breakneck speed. I pulled over, still on the line with the police, and waited. The cops sounded skeptical, but when they found me on the shoulder of the road, I was able to convince them to follow me back to Pete's Petrol. When we reached the station, I felt my stomach twisting for new reasons. The gas station and the washrooms behind it were all on fire. The place was so remote that it took another 30 minutes for the fire department to arrive. There was no sign of Stan. Once the blaze was finished and more cops arrived, they started looking around. I showed the officers the bathroom and the grisly things in the toilet. They finally believed me. Then, a crew got into the septic tank and discovered a horrific scene. A dozen dead bodies were crammed into a disgusting space. The investigation is ongoing, but I got the basics from a cop while I was still giving my statements. They believe that Stan was the killer. He'd been stuffing bodies into the gas station's large septic tank for years with no one the wiser. Finally, between the decaying corpses and the excrement, the tank clogged and began to flow back into the pipes that connected into the washroom. The red water I'd seen was blood and bone marrow from every other kind of rot that was submerged with the bodies. The chunks of flesh were a kind of backwash. Stan is still out there. They never caught him. I wonder often if he blames me. I was the one who made the discovery, the one who found the dark sickness in the washroom. Anytime I see a tow truck now, I watch it carefully. I look for mismatched eyes and the madness behind them.